Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So on our Hobie Palooza episode, we talked about the amazing tall blonde backup dancer who Hobie had such chemistry with. And, you know, he even said hi to her on stage in the middle of a song. And we just could not take our eyes off her because she was killing it.
Yeah.
We praised her for her energy, her love of the performance and knowledge of the music. And of course, many Iconics reached out to us to tell us that she's, of course, Sienna Lalau. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen her work with BTS many times. If you aren't familiar, she's one of the main choreographers for The Lab, which is the dance crew that BTS worked with for the On Manifesto film. And then she also danced backup at Permission to Dance LA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably other times that we aren't even, you know,
yeah,
don't even have listed here.
Yeah, I heard she helped with Dionysus.
Right.
She's very familiar with BTS's discography. She's worked with them for a lot of their choreography before. So at the time of recording, we just didn't know that's who it was.
Right.
But a lot of you reached out and were like, oh man, we have to like immediately walk in and to our next episode
right.
to acknowledge her.
Right. Give her kudos by name because
of course.
Sienna, I mean, she was
killing it.
Yeah. She brought so much to the stage. So little update and thanks Iconics for reaching out to us with that information. Mm-hmm. On that note, welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS.
Your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today we're doing a spotisode. So we're going to hang out for about an hour. We're going to talk about bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit about the photo folios that are going to be released with Jungkook's coming out first. We're going to finally talk about the Arson music video just because we had Hobie Palooza and
right.
more. And Jack in the Box, we just never got around to talking about the music video for Arson.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also going to talk about some of the BTS vlogs that
yeah.
we've gotten.
Yeah.
Lately. So lots to talk about today and today's
yeah.
spotisode.
For real, so much content to get caught up on.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into it, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. But any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you for being here and for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Iconics. So as far as our charity of the month for August goes, we know that we're midway through right now, but, you know, there's still time. We are sure that you've heard of the terrible flooding that took place in Korea, you know, over the past week or so. So a couple people reached out to us asking about flood relief. And so we found this great organization organization called Hope Bridge Korea Disaster Relief. That website is hopebridge.or.kr. And then if you need it in English, you can do a /ENG/. If you don't originally go to the English website, you can also toggle into English in the top right corner of the website. But basically, Hope Bridge Korea Disaster Relief is a civil association established in 1961 by different broadcasting companies, newspaper companies, and social organizations to help, you know, anyone in their area, any neighbors or themselves who are suffering from unexpected disasters. So like this relief fund also went and sent relief into North Korea, and they've sent relief into, you know, neighboring countries when needed in the past as well. But they are obviously working in Seoul right now and in the surrounding flooded areas. And the way that they take action is by prompting professional relief responses in disasters. And they've established cooperative networks with central government agencies, local governments, major corporations, and media outlets to not only get information out, but to get aid and relief out. So this is a really great organization, you know, founded in Korea. That's where, you know, the work is going and, you know, where the funds can really help affect. Yeah. So again, this is hopebridge.or.kr/ENG/. And please join us this month, Iconics, in donating there.
Yeah, yeah. And when you go to their main page, like they're talking about like the flood relief right now, because that's what's going
that's
on.
That's the main thing.
And how you ended up finding this, Kayla, too, is IU ended up donating.
Yeah, IU donated 100 million won. And so that's actually how I found this organization through, you know, her donation efforts. So I think that's, you know, an awesome organization to support. And yeah, the donate button is really big in that page. You can't miss it. So, you know, hop on there.
So let's go ahead and start off with talking about Bad Decisions. So Bad Decisions is a new song that was released by Benny Blanco with BTS and Snoop Dogg. So we kept hearing about this Snoop Dogg collab. Right. Like, when is that happening? Right. So it's finally come.
Here it is.
He wasn't lying about it. The interesting component of this song is that it's not all of BTS, it's just the vocal line. So we have Jin, Jungkook, Jimin, and Taeyang on this song. So this song is super catchy. Like, I mean, it really is just like meant like for radio earworm. Play. You know, it is, it's really, really catchy. Like, I feel like it gets stuck in your head so easily. Just a real, like, easy, enjoyable song to listen to.
For sure. I think it's so interesting that it's just the vocal line, like you brought up, and like Snoop Dogg is the rapper. Like, Snoop Dogg is filling the rapper position that BTS typically has, you know? I really enjoy BTS's vocals in this song. I think they are so great. Like, I mean, I'll never, ever get tired of hearing Jimin say, like, just give me your kisses. Like, yes, okay, like, for sure.
I really felt like Taeyang came through so much with his more, like, deeper, soulful voice. I agree. The vocals are absolutely great. I think BTS are, like, the bread and butter of this song. You know, they're the majority of the song. It's just, it's really wonderful to get to hear, you know, the vocal line really come through. And then Snoop Dogg doing the rap verses. So with this song, they ended up also releasing a music video for it. So it's just Benny Blanco in the music video.
Snoop Dogg's in it a little bit, too.
Snoop Dogg's in it, I don't know if they're together, though.
Like, no, they're never together. Like, they definitely did not get together to film.
I don't know if they shot separately or something.
Right.
But the music video, like, I feel like it's really lighthearted. It's really just him playing on, you know, what it's like to be an ARMY and preparing for a BTS concert or whatever. But the part of the music video that I really felt seen in a very specific way was the projector that he has in like a little theater room. My parents, they have like a theater room at their house, like, like a projector and everything. And so I'm like, man, I feel so seen right now because I, of course, have watched BTS like I've introduced BTS to almost all of my friends in that theater room. You know? Like, I need it all, like, full screen projector worthy. You know? Like, you have to see them. So I just thought it was really funny that he had this theater room, you know, with a projector.
That theater room is also where we started the podcast.
That is where we started the podcast. We recorded in that room.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I The part that I really felt like seen was just when he first woke up in his bedroom that's all like decked out with all of the BTS everything. Not that my bedroom is, but it's because I have a whole house. So it's like my like shelves in my family room are just covered in BTS. Mm-hmm. And then like in our office gaming room, I just have like a whole section of the wall. Just it's a shrine
it
to
is
BTS.
A shrine.
Like if you're a Iconic who comes to the monthly hangouts, it's behind me. Like you see, that's what my background is. It's like my literal shrine to them.
Yeah. So with Yoongi's water bottle, of
right?
Course.
Yoongi's water bottle, huge picture of Namjoon. Yes, like literally, like streamers from one of their concerts, and So I felt very seen, and also the part where he like literally parks his car on Sunset Boulevard because he's in too much traffic and he has to get to the concert. Mm-hmm. That was very much our experience when we were going to SoFi in LA. Like not you know parking on Sunset, but actually getting into SoFi and trying to park was a zoo.
Getting in and out
was insane. And
we were worried about timing.
Right.
Like getting to the parking lot. It was like, oh my gosh, we were just like at a standstill.
We would have never, ever gotten to that venue before the concert started had Jess not like let us go stand in line with her.
Right.
For sure. But yeah, I felt that. I really felt that. Mm-hmm. I also, even though like, I'm like, oh, I feel seen here. The first time watching this music video, I felt a little bit sensitive about it. Like, I know he's just playfully poking fun, but at some points it felt kind of like a caricature of ARMY, you know, and for
exaggerated,
and for someone to do that who's like outside of ARMY and like doesn't really understand the fandom or culture or like the history there, it felt like to me, I felt some kind of way about it a little bit, you know. I still enjoyed it for what it was, but I think I was a little bit sensitive to like those visuals.
I don't think he portrayed it poorly though in any way, but I get what you're saying with that.
His mom helping him make a cake, like he's like childish, or him running like all frantically, like he you know, and like spilling the cake because he just like can't keep it together, you know.
It was a bit over the top, but you know, I think it was just meant for like
To be funny,
it was lighthearted.
Right.
You know, I really don't think that he like meant to insult ARMY.
No, definitely not. I think, like I said, I think I was just oversensitive to it. So if anyone else out there is feeling like, man, am I the only one sensitive about it? You're so not.
Yeah.
It was still like, it was cute. Like the music video was funny and I liked how he executed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, it's a good song. It's catchy. It's personally not one that I'm hitting on replay. I don't think, Kayla, you've really been hitting on replay. I also kind of felt like the collaboration was a little bit disjointed, and I feel that other armies had some discourse online too about how this collaboration like didn't quite seem, I don't think they ever like got together in person to work on it.
No.
I feel like Snoop's verses were recorded separately too.
For sure.
We did get a little bit of like Jimin meeting up with Benny Blanco after the release.
Right. But to be fair, I only think that happened because Jimin came to the States to support Hobie Palooza.
Right.
Like otherwise he would not have.
Yeah.
I will say that it's really, really common in the music industry. Like most artists, when they do collaborate on a song, do not get together.
Yeah.
Like it was really unique that like, you know, Coldplay did that with My Universe, but that's what made that such a good collab.
Yeah.
But you know, BTS have collabed with other artists in the past. Like I would even say their like version of Idol with Nicki Minaj, like of course they didn't get together with her to collaborate for that. Like she just
Sia on.
Right. Okay, let's not talk about that one. But like the Nicki Minaj Idol is a good song, you know? And she definitely just like recorded her verse and sent it over and they mixed it in.
Uh-huh.
But the problem with this song is that like the elements don't go together that well, you know?
Yeah.
I just agree with you that the collaboration itself didn't blend that well. Like we love BTS's role in it completely. Like
they're
so amazing. And I'm not knocking Snoop for like his verse or whatever. I mean, I just think it was like a basic whatever pop song verse.
Radio play verse.
Yeah.
It's still catchy though.
Yeah.
And like I think it's enjoyable to listen to. Like I wouldn't say I'm skipping it necessarily when it does come on, but I'm not like putting it on replay.
For sure.
You know, it's not like a BTS song that I just have to keep like listening
going
to
back
over and
to,
over.
Right.
Yeah, like I can't get enough
of it. I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's not skippable at all, but it's not one that I'm like going out and needing to hear again.
Yeah.
Anyways, but BTS are amazing on it.
They are amazing on it. Yes.
So let's get into Jungkook's photofolio, and we can talk a little bit about how all of BTS are going to do this eventually as well. But Jungkook is the first one to do it. So he tweeted out just a picture of him, and the caption just said, "Me, myself, and Jungkook." And we're all like, "What the fuck is
this?
What is
this?
Yeah. What is this?" Because he has like red eyes and like bloody, swollen lips. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's saying vampire Jungkook, alpha wolf Jungkook. Like, I mean, the fanfic writers are really coming out of the woodwork for
this
one. The
army discourse on this. Oh my gosh. Did you see the Twilight, like the official Twilight, like saga Twitter account?
Yeah.
Like, tweeted about Jungkook.
No. The top reply tweets to the BTS official Twitter account are embarrassing. I'm like so many people, like, you know, are like, "Delete this, please." Like, right. No, we've moved past this. But, yeah. You know, Jungkook brought it all back. So a little bit about this. So the whole thing is to be released on September 1st, and it's an 8 photo series. And he, in the meantime, is releasing like little preview images or teasers, as well as concept films that are just going to be released periodically leading up to September 1st. So far, we've gotten the Mood Inner Self teaser, mm-hmm. which is 7 seconds long.
Very short.
Very short, but there's mm-hmm. so much within it. We get like a little bit of sparkly Jungkook. We see a pomegranate.
Yeah. We see a close-up of his eyes, mm-hmm. his red eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very vampire-y.
Very vampy.
That's totally the concept here that he's going for. He even has that like older, like Victorian era, like kind of like puffy shirt, mm-hmm. you know, looks very sexual, very dark, mm-hmm. you know,
brooding.
Love yes. it. Super excited for it. but Jungkook, they ended up releasing saying that he ended up working on all aspects of this photo shoot, starting with the planning stages, from the concept, costumes, and even to the props.
Wow.
So he must have really done a lot of research into how he wanted this photo shoot to go. I'm really excited to see what we get from it. I just feel like this is such a different artistic approach for BTS. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of reminds me of like the artist collection that we got from them where they did their own merch, you know, but now we're going to get all of the members in like their own like photo shoot
right.
that they've like, you know, handpicked what they, you know, what they want to do with the photo shoot.
Right.
And, you know, talking about like the costumes, the props, the makeup, what, you know, the concept. So we've got this vampire Jungkook with his eyebrow piercing.
Fuck.
God, I cannot with the lips. It's the
Man,
lips that are killing me
lips.
With like the, mm-hmm. the what looks like blood around his lips.
Uh-huh. Just, and like the slight blurriness of this image like really adds to like the sex appeal and the mystique of what is this? What's going on? Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes me really intrigued and excited for the full photo series and just to pick it all apart. Like,
right.
I really feel like this is something that we're going to give attention to and like invest intention into because it's gonna be exciting.
Yeah.
Like the detail work that he's gonna bring to this, the elements that he's gonna bring, like at this point can only imagine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And just knowing, you know, how much he's participated in it.
Right.
Now I'm very curious to see his artistic approach with, you know, a photo shoot.
Right.
Like what he would do if it's all in his hands.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into the Arson music video.
Oh my
We're
gosh.
Finally going to pick this apart. Not as much going on as like the More music video mm-hmm. in terms of like what is being portrayed and just kind
or
of
the storyline itself.
Yeah, yeah, but there's still stuff to talk about here
for
with
sure.
the Arson music video. So let's go ahead and start with the very beginning where what I find to be one of the most interesting parts of the entire music video is this massive billboard that is behind J-Hope at the beginning of the music video. So he's kind of in this, like, I don't know, it looks like he's underneath a bridge and just like a city area. There's nothing else around except there's all these cars that are like lit on fire.
Right, like turned upside down, crashed.
Yeah. And everything is like destroyed pretty much, or is being destroyed. But behind him is this like picture perfect, you know, like gorgeous house on a billboard. And I'm like, what is the purpose of it? Because it's massive. It's right. This massive billboard of this like kind of white suburban house is right. What it looks like to
beautiful,
me.
Big suburban home. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. And you see it eventually kind of go up in flames too, just like all the other cars around him. But it's not lit on fire right at the beginning. And it's just so blinding. It's like right there.
Especially as his first backdrop,
It's the backdrop, right? Yeah. And it's what you first see in the music video. So I'm like, what does this mean? Like, why does he have this here? And I just kind of am thinking about like the lyrics at this part of the song where he's talking about his like reasons why, you know, kind of like what's fueling his motivation. And he's very blunt and honest in that like money, success, popularity, you know, that's all like tempting. It's very tempting to him. So I feel like with this like picturesque, picture perfect life, like gorgeous, beautiful home that symbolizes wealth, success,
is stability.
Yeah. Is like being advertised to him and to us on this billboard.
Holy shit, yeah.
You know, so yeah. I think that's my interpretation of this billboard.
Damn. The being advertised, you know, and then he's burning it down.
What
as you were talking, I was also thinking about the direction that he's walking away from it.
Right.
He's leaving it behind him. Mm. And so everything that house can represent, he's leaving it behind him and, you know, in his past burning up. It made me think like cheesily of the House of Bangtan, like just to plug any BTS parallel at all. But also it made me think about like their song Home and the significance of home and, you know, like the more theoretical significance of what a home can mean to like being that safety zone, that safe space. And, you know, just where, you know, where you come home, where you lay your head at night. And kind of like burning that concept, because you could think about that comfort of the group of BTS being that home. And now he's stepping out
into his solo work.
Yeah.
I can see that too. Or even just with mass popularity and mass success, you start to, you know, this isn't true for everyone, but kind of become separated from, you know, that more like homey feel.
Right.
You know, being like really super close with family all the time because he's so busy and out traveling, you know.
Especially because that style of like suburban home really represents like a idealistic life, like a, you know, people who like work towards that type of lifestyle in that neighborhood and everything. They want that picture perfect life, like you said.
Big house.
And they are really, really, you know, they want that idealization of what, you know, a simple life would be for them. And he's really just literally burning that all.
I also couldn't help but to think of, as I was typing up like billboard, I'm like, billboard charts, like, you know, like going up in flames, like, you know, just
as it's being advertised on a billboard and billboard charts.
I couldn't help but to, we'll make any parallel.
I mean, I don't think it's a stretch. He's literally burning up the charts.
Yeah,
there you go. Something that we see in the background as he's kind of like making his way forward away from this house is we see it's like an interstate sign, but it has a 94 on it. And then the red part at the top has his Instagram handle, You Are Me Hope. Super, super cute. And he talked about in his shooting sketch that there's so many little details of his like peppered in the background.
Yeah, that symbolize himself.
So that's one of them. And then there was like a big like a green interstate sign, like a direction sign saying like, you know, arson that way. And it had like 2022 on it for the exit or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, very timely. So he definitely like thought about a lot of different details.
Those little details on those traffic signs.
Yeah. And that that road sign that says done is very similar to like the ego sign that we see too. So kind of, you know, reminds us of a, you know, work of art that he's done in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also just thinking about this, like the significance of like the road signs and the fact that he's underneath this bridge, you know, being on this like highway,
right?
The, you know, this always going quick, the road going to where? Fast. Yeah. And that being shown a lot in Ego too. So there's for sure parallels with Ego here.
For sure.
We also see not only are the cars and the billboard and everything else is lit on fire, which is fitting. There's also men lit on fire, like just in black, all black outfits, lit on fire, running. And they're all running different directions. This makes me think of just J-Hope running with like a fiery passion to write and produce Jack in the Box, working on music, you know, that like, you know, seeing these people physically running lit on fire.
Yeah.
It makes me think of just like the fiery passion that he's had throughout this creation of his album and just really his career with BTS too. Mm-hmm.
I agree. And they like the running men on fire bring another level of chaos to it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like it's not just explosions, like people are literally on fire, so it seems more chaotic, and they just they bring panic at the same time.
Panic. You know,
the panic of being on fire and destruction.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just really emphasizes all of the emotions that he wants to bring forth visually in this song.
Yeah
I really love when he comes out for the second verse and he switched from the crisp white jumpsuit, and now his jumpsuit is like all charred and burnt. And it's when he says, it's done.
It's done. It's over. It's done right now.
So, you know, everything is all burnt up now. The flames are no longer going. And it's just like this aftermath of arson all around him, like blackened cars, thick smoke billowing around him. At some points, especially early in the second verse, it's almost hard to see him because of the smoke that's just pouring in around him.
There's ash everywhere.
And even in the shooting sketch, he says, we even are burning the ash, you know, like burnt to a crisp out there. And, you know, it made me think about like what is remaining here after the fire. Only him. He's the only thing left.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
Goosebumps.
Oh, J-Hope.
Yeah. What's so interesting too is like in the first verse, you know, where everything's set on fire, it's nighttime, but now you're really seeing like the after effects of the destruction, because now it's daytime and you can just see all of the destruction so clearly. I mean, between that, you know, the billowing smoke and the ashiness in the air, it's just, you can really see what's been done, the destruction that's gone on here.
Right. I think the smoke kind of like clears away and you can, as he's rapping, you can see, oh my gosh, like it's really a fucking waste zone here.
Yeah. And then you can see these helicopters, these like military style helicopters circling the area, which like you were saying before, it really seemed like a panic, like a state of emergency type situation. And now we're here with like, it looks like relief aid that's being provided to this area. Like the fire has been put out, you know, they're trying to like tend to the wounded or, you
search
know, whatever.
For survivors.
Yeah. And like you were saying, it's just J-Hope standing there now who is still intact.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. He's still intact. Those men on fire, they got burned up. Like, I mean, that could be like the competition. That could be anybody that he's left in his wake because of his success to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The haters.
I'm just thinking about like what he as an artist is trying, you know, what he maybe was feeling.
Right.
Like, you know, in the state of writing and producing his music and just like working in the studio, lit on fire. And now like he's having to see what remains, you know, and even though he's still standing and walking, which we haven't even talked about how he's like been deranged.
Right. The whole
like,
time.
The way he's delivering his verses. I mean, he's like stumbling over himself. Mm-hmm. Like,
really? I mean, the first time we watched it, we were like, he's almost like zombie walking because he was almost like limping and just taking little steps and, you know, and, you know, just feeling it in his body a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But he does. He, you know, he very aggressive, very raw in the way that he's delivering his, you know, his rap here.
Yeah. But like I was saying here in the second verse, like we're seeing like him as an artist now that the album's done and it's being released. Now he's kind of seeing the after effects of like, oh gosh, I've done all of this, but also like what remains, you know, like what have I done to myself?
Right.
You know, other parts of his life that maybe he's neglected, you know.
His home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, his home.
I know.
Yeah.
Like where he came from, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Man, I love that interpretation.
Then we get this really neat shot where we go, we've seen the outside of J-Hope, and now we get this neat shot where we see the camera go into his chest, you know, and we see his heart that is still pumping, you know, and I just can't help but to think that the heart is his passion. It's still pumping.
Yeah.
But you see it's charred, you know, like, and even his arteries are charred too. So it looks like his passion maybe is burnt out a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some damage that's been done, but he's still, you know, it's still pumping. It's right. still there.
Right.
And I think it just parallels so much with this, the lyrics of the song with Arson being like, does he keep going? You
right.
know, like,
is choose gonna, what?
Yeah. Does he keep burning, or does he
put out
the fire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shot of his heart is so, like, we really didn't expect that, you know? And so it's so jarring. And I love your interpretation of it. And it made me think of when they come out of it and you can see, like, kind of the embers on his cheeks. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we know that he's burning up inside and it's even coming out of him. We can see him burning from within here.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me think of, like, the last coal burning on a fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, how it just has that slight tinge of red. It's mostly, like, burnt up. Like, but, you know, you could easily restart a fire with just that one last coal.
Yeah.
For sure. And get it roaring again, you mm-hmm. know. Huge fire. I have chills.
I do too.
I'm like, J-Hope, please. but, or you can, with that last coal, you could snuff it out completely easily as well. Like, just as easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, like, him visually making himself this coal is like just that lyrical, you know, representation of
yeah.
you know what his choice here of what he's gonna do after this arson, after creating this
after
album,
Jack in the Box, you
after
know,
Jack
where
in
does
the
he
box.
Go next year
right yeah. right. And at this point in the music video, like, when we see him doing this, he's the only thing left burning. So it's just that, you know, greater impact of, wow, he really is like this last standing coal.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah.
know, where's he going to go from here?
Yeah. So the last shot that we get is we see arson, the word arson, all spelt out with flame. And J-Hope is right in the dead center of it, right in that S in the middle.
Mm.
And he's looking at the camera and you see him just pretty much pass out. I'm like, did he pass out from, like, exhaustion,
right,
or smoke
inhalation?
Like, what? Yeah, but exhaustion
right.
is really what it is.
Right.
And he lays in the center of arson, so, you know, where it's kind of like he could easily be lit back up
mm-hmm.
and keep going.
Yeah.
But at what cost? You
right.
know, you see the destruction and the damage that's been done
already.
Yeah. To yeah. you know, his passion, or just, like, you know, physically too,
right, even just know. To his body
mm-hmm.
like we see, like, the inside of his body burnt. We could take that literally. And
yeah.
You know, I think it's so interesting that he's here in the middle of the word and how close the flames are to him, but not too close, you
they're
know
not
it's,
too close
it's
right?
just again that continual of, like, will he, won't he, like,
yeah,
will he be reignited with this whole arson or not?
I wonder if he'll ever answer that question for us.
Well,
you know,
I think the question will be answered if he releases another album.
Yeah.
Or when BTS come back together.
Right.
Yeah. But until then,
we just want whatever J-Hope wants to do.
Right. Of course. And
yeah.
we absolutely loved him at Hobie Palooza, and we
oh
are so excited for his success there. And you know, we want to continue to celebrate this amazing album. Like,
yeah.
I'm still listening to it. I know
I'm
you
still
are.
Listening to Arson every day.
Daily.
Jack in the Box, daily.
It's a necessary thing. For sure.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call,
Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about these vlogs that the members have been posting lately. Mm-hmm. Another thing that it seems like they're getting into, and we've gotten a vlog from almost every single member, with that not being Taeyong and J-Hope and Yoongi. But everybody else we've gotten one from. So the first one we got was from Jimin. Mm-hmm. Sweet baby Jimin. Oh my God. He's so freaking cute the entire time in his vlog.
So adorable.
So adorable. I just have to say first, his beak is out. Like
the beak.
The beak. I think
he talks about his beak.
He talks about his beak. He, you know, he captioned it his beak. And yeah. I just like was dying over it. But it was so the shots of him. So I mean, let me explain what he's doing.
Yeah.
He has always wanted to make jewelry. We know he loves jewelry. And so he set up a day to go to a workshop and learn how to make jewelry. And he made two bracelets. And these bracelets were like silver that he had to like hammer out and shape and saw and buff and polish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like he totally, you know, did this whole thing. Yeah. And I just enjoyed seeing how cute he was the whole time and him taking us along with him.
He said he was so focused that his beak came out because he like pouts his little lips when he's like really focused. You know how like some people when they're super focused, their tongue will come out or something. Right. I guess he pouts.
Mm. And it was fully out.
It was fully out. It was so cute, but he just looked adorable because he had this super cute like black beanie on.
Uh-huh. And like overalls.
Overalls. Mm. Yeah. And he just looked all like doe-eyed. Yeah. Like he just looked super cute and curious, and you could tell that he was having a really enjoyable time making this jewelry. It seemed very peaceful. He mentioned that it was peaceful because it's kind of a quiet workshop, and he just got to get crafty with his hands. And it was really neat to see him make the jewelry.
Yeah, he seemed to really love how they turned out, and you know, the way that the two different bracelets fit on his arm and his different options for how he could wear them and style them, and you know, seemed really proud of himself. And I just thought he was really adorable the whole time. Like so cute. And I loved it.
Yeah. So next we got RM's vlog. And I just have to say, at the start of his vlog, he starts it with, like, him waking up in the morning.
Dying. I'm dying. I couldn't handle it.
Rude. Like, why did he give us that shot, you know? Because you can hear his morning voice. He's just so deep and
sexy
and croaky and oh my God. Anyways, I just couldn't believe that like that's how he started.
And it went
on
for so long.
I know. Like he was basically telling us what his plans were for his vlog. So he ended up going to Basel, Switzerland. So I had not actually heard of Basel, Switzerland before, but I know that just Switzerland is gorgeous overall. Mm-hmm. So he really, this whole vlog was him traveling, but just Namjooning, like doing his typical Namjooning, like going to museums, eating yummy food, spending time in nature. Mm-hmm. Like that was a majority of what he did. So we see him go to Art Basel, which is a museum. And then he ended up just kind of museum hopping. He ended up going to Paris too. Mm-hmm. And so he went to a couple museums there as well. But he ended up visiting at least like six different museums, which is just so Namjoon. Like, I enjoy a good museum, but oh my goodness, six museums, like one trip. Like he clearly is so passionate about art. Right. So passionate about it. We saw him go to the Rhine River, walk around like the
streets. Dip his toes in it.
He did tip his toes in it.
He kept that shot in too. Like, thank you. Thank you for the morning voice. Thank you for the toes in your water.
Yeah.
Like I don't have a foot fetish, but like for Namjoon, you know.
Yeah, I think he ended up captioning, like, why did I do this? Right. You know, like, why did I just show my feet? But what was super cute is he ended up finding this slide. And it was this metal slide, like, in a park. And he went down it one time. And he didn't have, like, you're supposed to use, like, a little sack to, like, smoothly go down it. And also because it's metal, I think it's hot something.
Yeah.
So he took us down with the camera, you know, and he's just, like, struggling down he's like slide. You know, he's really struggling and he's like, why did I do that?
He keeps like kicking his legs up and
I mean, he ended up being okay, but it was just kind of, it was entertaining to see him go down this slide.
Right.
But he really had a fun time with it, that he ended up going and getting the sack like he was supposed to, and then went back and redid it, and then loved it so much that he went back and did it again.
Yeah.
So he went down this slide three times. Which
I just love that.
Yeah.
That he found such joy in that. And even like by the third time, his friends that he was with was kind of like, clowning him a little bit. Yeah. Like, are you really doing this a third time? But yeah, he must have just really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, such pure fun. And I just feel like I love getting like swings and stuff like that.
Oh, me too. I so get that.
You know, just that vestibular input, you know, I think maybe he just got a lot of enjoyment out of it and was like, I haven't been down a slide in forever. Why not? Like, it's still like, you don't have to be a kid to still enjoy stuff like
for
that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just really sweet to see that, you know, he enjoyed going down a slide a couple times. Like, he doesn't get to do that very often. So then, he ended up going to Paris, went to another museum, ate some more yummy food. What I thought was really funny is that when he was in Paris, he said, I want to go and get Korean food, which I think is just like, that's kind of like a Korean thing to do, is like traveling and then still just wanting Korean food.
Right.
Which, I mean, I want Korean food all the time.
All it's the time. Right. To be fair, like, Americans have a stereotype of like going to Italy and eating McDonald's. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's very true. Very true.
I mean, but I get it. If I were him, I'd want Korean food too.
Yeah. So his vlog was just, it was great. It was all Namjooning. It was him really doing what he does best. Museums, nature.
Yeah.
Walk-in.
Yeah. I would love to take that trip with him. Yeah. I'd be down for it all.
It looked gorgeous.
Yeah. Seriously. So the next vlog that we got was a Jungkook camping vlog, which was such a treat because Jungkook is such a sweet, precious baby who like only loves and thinks about ARMY 24/7 constantly. Like, he just makes everything so pure. He went camping at the beach and he had like a camper that they brought with him that I think they drove up there and he drove some of it. I remember him talking about like, I've never driven something like this before. And I would say like almost half the vlog was him like shopping in grocery stores and convenience stores like for food and supplies.
Food.
Which is just hilarious that that's like, he has to show that, like, the food collection. And then him like cooking and grilling it, which was really great. I just love to see his process and, you know, just him enjoying that food.
Right.
And the beach looked a little chilly the first night that he was there. And then later on that night, it started raining overnight. And he was a little bit like hopeful that it would be nice the whole time. So he's, I think, a little bit down by that rain a little bit, but he still did enjoy it. And the next morning, he had gorgeous weather, sunshine, not a cloud in the sky, like beautiful waves. The beach was really pretty. And before he ended up packing up and leaving on the sand, really big, I'm sure you saw on his Instagram, this is what it's from, is he wrote BTS loves, BTS heart, ARMY forever.
Yeah.
And he spent such a long time like filming that in so many different ways. He was like remiss that they didn't have a drone to like get a high up shot of it.
I know.
And, yeah. I mean, he was really, really cute with it. And it was just an amazing way to end the vlog.
Yeah. He looked a little teary eyed too.
I know. His face would get a little puffy.
Yeah. Like, he was really thinking about BTS and ARMY in that moment. You could tell.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Jungkook, too pure.
It looked really relaxing. And I think he just had a nice time, you know, camping. He talked about how camping, he enjoys it, and that, you know, it's something that we should all do.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good to get away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then the last vlog that we've gotten most recently was Jin's.
Mm.
And so Jin did a cooking vlog, which is
iconic.
Yeah. Love it. So he ended up going to a cooking class with one of the top chefs in Korea, which is Chef Lee. And they actually have a really great friendship and a really interesting relationship because Chef Lee is much older than Jin. So Jin really commented on how they have this almost like grandfather-grandson relationship with one another. But it sounds like they really enjoy each other's company. And so when he went to go to this class, he ended up bringing him a small gift, just kind of as a thank you for, you know, teaching him how to cook. So he gave him a bottle of wine and a jar of honey from Jin's, like, actual grandpa, his bee farm. I had no idea that Jin's grandpa had a bee farm.
Right.
I think that is so interesting. But it's, like, so personal to, like, gift him honey from his grandpa's bee farm. Like, I just think that is so pure and cute and sweet.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, the bottle of wine that they could enjoy after they had cooked their meal together. So Jen really wanted to make menbosha, which we looked it up and it's like this shrimp toast and that you have to fry. And so
it looks so good. We want to make it now.
Yeah, it looked so yummy. Like, Kayla, please, if you make it,
I'll invite you over.
Yeah,
you know I will.
Invite me over, please. But yeah, Jen really wanted to make it. And so he taught him how to do it. And it was just really relaxing to watch. It felt like you were watching like a cooking show. I just loved seeing their dynamic together and how they were talking with one another. But the bread, the actual toast part that he ended up frying, Jen ended up making it into the shape of the BTS and ARMY logo.
No.
He also posted a picture of it onto Instagram, onto his Instagram. But yeah, it really made us want it. We're like, man, we should cook this.
Yeah.
And he kind of talked about like how ARMYs should make it too, you know, from watching, you know, how they had done it together. So it's kind of like a cooking class for ARMY too. But he said to be careful because you have to fry food. So be careful with the hot oil.
Right. I think that this vlog, just because of how kind and generous and thoughtful Jin was at the beginning with these gifts, and he was so excited for this experience, and Chef Lee and his like relationship and just their communication, and how like I think this vlog was my favorite one to watch. Like,
you love cooking though.
I do love cooking. That is so true. I love cooking, and I've always loved cooking shows, so maybe I'm like biased to it, but
he was with someone.
He
so
was
we
with
got
someone
to, yeah,
and
see a
yeah
bit more.
It was cool to see him like learn and, you know, just be so humble and, you know, kind and sweet. And yeah, I just loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had so much to talk about on this spot episode this week. Just, you know, BTS, they're active.
Yeah.
You know,
they are still active.
Very
yeah,
active
really
in this off season.
Really
not on break. That is true. But we have really been enjoying this content they've been giving us. And we definitely enjoyed talking about it with you, Iconics, this week.
Yeah. Also, Run BTS is back.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it. We're going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, anyways, we definitely want to thank our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, and Holly. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. We love you so much. Bora, hey, Iconics. And if you enjoyed this episode or any of our previous ones, please let us know. You can write us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. It means so much. And of course, please support the Hope Korea Fund Relief. And you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening and thanks for standing BTS.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.